Hey guys, thanks for listening to Kinda Dating, the comedy dating podcast where I, your host Natasha Chandel, and some cool guests break down the dating world and try to figure out why the fuck do we all have commitment issues? Today's topic is dating someone with health issues. What do you need to know? Let's do this. Hey, hey, friends, this is Natasha Chandel, and you're listening to Kinda Dating. You know, one of the most universal experiences in life is heartbreak. It happens to a lot of us, and there are some lucky SOBs out there who've avoided it, and God bless you. But for those who it has happened to, it does not have to hold you back. Let me ask you this. Are you sick of checking your ex's Instagram over and over? Well, there is an app that'll actually help you out with this. It's Mend. It is a self-care app for heartbreak that will guide you through your breakup with daily audio trainings designed by experts and community support. Mend also tracks your progress and helps you process your breakup through guided journaling, which I'm a big fan of as a writer. This app is super legit, actually, guys. It's been featured in Vogue, Forbes, Refinery 29 and more. The New York Times calls Mend a personal trainer for heartbreak, and Mend even caught the attention of the Jessica Alba, who is now an advisor. The reason we're telling you all of this is because we have a special promo just for you, the Kind of Dating listeners, so you can find out why Mend users call the app a lifesaver. Go to letsmend.com/kindadating. That's letsmend.com/kindadating for a free 7-day trial. Because we all know heartbreak hurts, but you do not have to go through it alone. Now, I want to introduce my next guest. This episode is very close to my heart for many reasons. You'll find out soon. But I want to introduce comedian, producer of MTV's Girl Code, and host of the podcast Ghosted Stories, all the way from New York, we have Chelsea White.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl.
Chelsea joining us from New York. We always have awesome phoners with like great guests out in New York. Also, because that was my home, so I tend to find, you know, the good ones out there.
Well, thank you so much for having me all the way from the other side of the country.
I know.
It's a pain in the podcast ass.
Hey, no, this is super easy. Technology, you know, makes life much easier. Tell us about Ghosted Stories.
So Ghosted Stories is a podcast I've been doing with my co-host and co-creator, Aaron Leaf, who's a writer, about, I guess, a little over a year now. I can't believe it's been that long.
Wow.
And it came about because, similar to you, just, you know, for many years was a serial dater. And then I fucked it up by getting into a relationship right when I started the podcast. But Aaron kind of plays the, like, in a stable, committed relationship, like living with a guy for 7 years to my hot mess. That's kind of where it all came about. And we're both just, you know, like you and all of your listeners, fascinated with human behavior and how fucking weird and messed up dating can be, especially living, you know, in a metropolitan like city, like New York or like LA. And we just wanted to figure out why people ghosted each other. And so that's kind of where the idea started. And then now we kind of have expounded from, like, we do have people tell epic tales of being like horrifically ghosted. And we also just, we'll talk about quote unquote scary dating stories, you know, so just all kinds of dating trials and tribulations.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I felt really bad earlier this year because I ghosted somebody I used to date. So I don't even know why. Like, it almost didn't even make sense for me to. I know. But I mean, I made up for, I mean, I apologized after. But
did you reach out? That's
Yeah, I did. Well, it was an ex of mine who then became sort of a flex, which is like, you know, I call it like a flexible relationship. Like,
totally.
And so I just like, we, you know, hit each other up when we needed something. And so like way earlier in the year, I came out of a breakup and he, you know, was single. So we were both like, hey, what's up? Like, let's go out for dinner. And then totally like hooked up. I was such a dick about it. Like, he, you know, it was like 2 a.m. and I rolled out of, and I was like, oh shit, I think I left my phone in the living room just so I wouldn't have to cuddle. And then I got there, and then I was like, oh, you know what? Shit, it's so late. Like, fuck, I have an early morning. I should go. And the funny thing is, like, I said to him, I was like, oh, you know, I should just go because, like, I don't want to wake you up in the morning. But he's a morning person, so he always gets up at, like, 6. And so it made no sense what I said. And I knew it, and I knew he knew it.
You knew, right.
Because we used to date. Like, he was an ex of mine. And I was like, yeah, so I'm just going to go. And then I left and just was an asshole and, like, didn't text him for months.
Did he, though, try to reach out to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, I just like sort of didn't. No, but then I hit him back
up.
You
made an effort and then.
Yeah. And I made, okay. I called him back. Eventually I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, I was going through shit. I probably shouldn't have like done any of that. And I think like I didn't have the balls to like just come out and say that. But at least like, and right. He forgave me. He was like, it's okay. I know you. I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, sometimes I just get overwhelmed.
Well, yeah. And that's what I feel like everyone says. It just comes down to feeling overwhelmed and frozen and like not knowing how to proceed. You know, yeah. And it happens to the best of us. Yeah. And then some people are just like heartless assholes, and that's not you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's no, I feel like everybody I've like called back and apologized if I've ever done that. I've been like, I'm so sorry. I just, anyways. So what's your deal? Single or in a relationship?
So yeah, I've been in a relationship for a little bit over a year now.
Nice.
And so we met after, you know, I was kind of on this, I don't know, like swearing off dating for a while. Cause you know, like, dating can be fun until it's not. And I was going through a period of like, this is just not fun anymore. It feels very torturous. And so I kind of deleted all my dating apps and shelved it for a while. And then I got back on and he was like the first person that I set up a date with. And it just, I mean, our first date was 4 p.m. on a Thursday at the Red Lobster in Times Square. And I show up wearing workout clothes because I was like, I'm going to go for an after because I'm definitely going to hate this asshole. And who cares? Everybody's garbage. And then it just worked. So.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, sometimes like because you take a break too, you like reevaluate what you want. And maybe you came back and like were more focused and like didn't even know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So today's topic is, you know, dating with health issues. I think it works both ways, like for people like us who have had either a condition or chronic illness or whatever, and for other people who've dated us. And I think like there's a lot of people going through things. So I'm glad that this topic came up because it's, like I said, it's really close to my heart. But I want everybody to know your story first. Tell us about you and why, you know, you wanted to address this.
Sure. So I have Tourette and I was diagnosed very early on. Fortunately, it's something that I've always been able to sort of be educated about. My parents were super on top of like getting me diagnosed and then helping me learn more about it and like see the treatments that I needed. But come to find out as an adult now that so many people live to be an adult without ever being able to like put a name to what they're going through. They're just like, am I insane? Like, you know, am I a crazy person? The answer is no. But yeah, as everyone listening probably has at least heard of Tourette, and you probably think of it as like the crazy swearing disease, you know, because that's the most easiest part of Tourette and easiest tick to sort of sensationalize because it's, you know, I mean, I'm trying to find like a delicate word because I always
delicate.
I
we're
joke
just
about
like,
it, but I'm thinking if people are just meeting me for the first time today on your podcast. But yeah, I mean, of course,
girl, like, I curse like a motherfucker on this show. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
like,
good. All right.
I had a review that was like she curses too much, and I was like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I don't curse at people, so don't worry about it. Be you.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I mean, everyone knows Tourette is like the crazy swearing disease, and that's all that anyone really, you know, it's like the biggest stereotype and the thing that people always like to joke about. And it is a type of Tourette you can have. It is one of the tics that people have, but it's actually a very specific type of Tourette called Coprolalia that less than 10% of people with Tourette have. Oh. And like I always like to say, if I call you a fucking shithead, I definitely mean it. You know, this is not my threat.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not a tick that I have. So I think even when I was younger, I didn't realize that that was a stereotype of it, because I have don't have any vocal tics, like verbal tics. I do have some vocal tics, like coughing or maybe making like a high pitched noise, like a dolphin, which is a fun one for everyone around me, or just doing common things too that you see. I mean, everybody has some type of little tic, right?
Totally.
Even if you have Tourette, like sniffing your nose, maybe, or kind of blinking your eyes and things like that. And those are, you know, how my tics manifest themselves, is things. I have one where I like wiggle my ears, which is weird, or where I kind of have to bend over in a certain way until I feel like a certain stretch in my back, and strange things like that, that you, you know, when you think of Tourette, maybe you don't think of sort of these more interesting non-swearing tics, but that is how it manifests itself in the majority of people. And this is the only brain in life I've ever known. So to me, it's not weird, but I can 150% understand how to other people it's fucking weird, you know? And I give so much credit to everyone in my life for not being, well, maybe they are driven totally crazy by me and my tics, but they don't tell me such. They maybe talk about me in private behind my back, which I appreciate.
Nah.
So yeah, it's definitely been a factor in my dating life, you know, having these sort of more or less uncontrollable. The other weird thing about Tourette, and I guess think the misconception, is that people think they're totally uncontrollable, like a reflex, when actually it's sort of this weird in between voluntary and involuntary, where it's like the most severe nagging itch that you've ever had, but that itch is your brain telling you to make these movements or make these vocalizations, to the point where it almost can feel involuntary because the urge to like satisfy that itch is so strong, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's just kind of like easier. You just kind of like get in the habit of like going through the motions of satisfying whatever that, because it's a neurological disorder. So it's like satisfying those weird, you know, synapses that are firing incorrectly or differently than other people's brains, that you just kind of are like, okay, this is socially fucking weird and embarrassing, but I'm more compelled to like satisfy that itch in my brain than I am. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And how did it affect, like, how did it affect your dating life?
Well, the way I always kind of describe it is, I mean, maybe the opposite of what you would think. I used to joke, like, I wish I had these traumatic tales that I could fucking go write like a best-selling memoir about how traumatic it was for me to date with Tourette. But it kind of is a secret dating weapon, I've called it in the past, you know, because I think I like to bring it up early on, and not in a like, oh my God, hi, I'm Chelsea and I have Tourette, you know, like one part of me. It's not like the subtitle under my name, like it's not my identity, but it's obviously in my enormous part of like who I am and like the brain I have. And so I do usually either, maybe I will be ticking and people ask me about it on the first or second date, or it will just organically come up when we're talking about interests. And, you know, I'll mention I'm on the board of the New York City's chapter of the National Tourette Association. I've been a board member on that local chapter for like a decade now. And, you know, so I'll kind of weave that into it. Like, oh, I have a board meeting later. Oh, what board meeting? And then I'll talk about having Tourette. And it's just such an easy way to weed out the trash people.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
It's sort of like a great way to judge someone's character by how they respond, or, you know, obviously if they say something insane or stereotypical or gross, then you're like, okay, that's all I needed to know. Or a lot of times though, I find that it's a really great icebreaker to kind of get to the nitty gritty right away, and the other person feels compelled to sort of open up about something that they're dealing with. You know what I mean? Because obviously we all have something that we feel uncomfortable about, if not many things. And, you know, Tourette is just, you know, I don't even know if it's necessarily one of the things I feel uncomfortable about talking about. There's lots of other things that I feel more vulnerable talking about, but it's kind of a good, like, way to segue into talking about, yeah, the real
deeper
stuff,
stuff
we are
yeah.
as people. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no,
so.
I hear you. Yeah, it's interesting. So I don't have Tourette's, but when I was like 20, I'm aging myself now, but I contracted Lyme disease. And
oh, wow.
I had it for 7 years undiagnosed. So we did not know for
wow.
7 years why I was so ill. But I was extremely ill and had everything from, you know, I mean, I literally disappeared in my last year of college. People were like, where did you go? And all my professors knew that, like, Tasha just really sick, but we didn't know what. And I had,
right.
you know, every test done under the sun to me and, like, every symptom from, you know, extreme just bodily pain to muscle failure to coordination gait issues. Like, I would be able to drive to work and not be able to drive back. And so I had to eventually quit my job because I was like, I can't function like this. My parents can't, you know, I would work like
right.
45 minutes an hour away. And so, you know, I went through like the gamut of tests and eventually came to like MS or is it cancer or, you know, at one point it was like, is it a rare brain disease? And
oh my goodness. Yeah. That was some of the things that the doctor was bringing up. And
yeah,
in like,
because I,
that
you
could
know,
be a possibility. Wow.
Yeah. Cause I couldn't, I mean, at its worst, I was in bed, unable to move and my mom had to feed me for 2 weeks because I couldn't even lift a spoon cause I was so weak. And, you know, doctors would come up to you and tell you, like, I had a doctor sit me down, a neurologist, like, are you sure you're not depressed? Like, do you think, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you see me dying.
Wow.
And at some point, you know, actually even while it started at MTV, because we're both Viacom alums, I, you know, it progressed into things like where I would faint and have a random fainting spell and couldn't walk for a week. So for whatever reason,
goodness.
Yeah, doctors could never figure out why I would have, like, I would lose the ability to move my legs for a week. And so, you know, working around all of that while living in New York and being alone and all of those things and trying to date, like, it was difficult because I also didn't know what to tell people because I didn't
right.
know, like, I was like, okay, so, like, I get sick sometimes and the symptoms were so crazy, like, this, like, the fainting stuff that I didn't even know what to say it was. I was like, ah. And then eventually, 7 years later, a random resident doctor was like, hey, you know, have you ever been checked for Lyme? And I was like, I don't know. They've checked me for fucking everything. And
right.
And then I got tested for Lyme. The only thing that came, you know, part positive, we got the medication. I took it and within like a month, my immunity went up. And then with it took about like 2 years to like get back to normal. But, you know, I had, like, I still live with, like, you still get periodic relapses. There's, like, a whole thing of, like, it, Lyme stays dormant in your body. It never totally goes
right.
away. And so I've had episodes through my life, like, you know, on and off. Like, I'll have periods where I just feel really ill and I can't explain to anybody why I feel so sick. And so, or, like, you know, there's just, like, random weaknesses and knee pain and I can't explain why my knees hurt and I'm like, but it just really
right.
kills. And so, you know, I've had to live with that. And then like 2 years ago got in a really bad car accident where I got, you know, reared by a dump truck and got a really bad head injury. So I got like a concussion and severe whiplash and like nerve pain. Now, fast forward 2 years from now, I'm like good now, but I still have like certain sensitivities, especially for my brain for like sounds
oh, sure.
and light. And I just get really, you know, if I get tired, like I need rest. Like I'm not somebody who can function on 5-6 hours of sleep anymore.
Right.
I need to like, you know, be rested. I can't drink as much as other people can.
Right.
And just like, you know, some limitations with my neck, like. You know, you can't do certain things. I can't be on roller coasters right now.
Sure.
But eventually in time, it gets better. And it's been interesting with dating because for me, like, I felt so, like, I didn't even want to put somebody else through it. So for me, like,
of course.
I would keep people
and what,
at bay for so
yeah.
long. Sorry, you were about to say something.
Sorry. And no. And every now and then I'll lose you for like 4 seconds. So if I ever don't respond normally,
yeah.
it's just that. But especially like you not even knowing you weren't able to describe it yourself. Like, you didn't know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. So how did you end up explaining it to guys that you were dating? Or did you just in that exact way, like, listen, I have this weird thing. It's as weird to me as it is to you. Like, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I would just sort of, I actually kept people at bay for a really long time. A lot of the people I ended up dating were people who I'd been friends with. So it kind of
made sense.
They had known that I was sick or whatever.
Yeah.
That said, I honestly did not pursue a serious relationship for 5.5 years around that time. And actually, when I first had Lyme, for the first 2.5 years, I was very, very ill. And actually, I was in a relationship for 2.5 years with somebody. He broke up with me the week the doctor said I might have a rare brain disease. Not because of that, but like, because he just wanted out. And I remember being like, you piece of fucking shit. Like,
wow.
The week that I really needed you to just like hang on and be there is like, because I never really got upset about it. I was just like, okay, I'm sick. Like, let's move on. You know, I just never tried to, I tried not to be down about it until that time. That was like my first like nervous breakdown. I was like, brain disease. And rare and like one that had like no cure. I was like, okay, this is fucking awesome.
You're like, that's literally, yeah, checking off all the worst answers.
Yeah. And I remember though, after that happened, I just sort of didn't trust people for a long time. And so, but that said, I would gauge like later as I started dating people, like, you know, around the like 6 year mark, I'd already had it for a long time. And I would date people seriously. I would just see who was around or not around when I was sick. And I'd be like, oh, if you could. And again, it's not like I require, you know, thank God, like I didn't need IVs or something. But, you know, if I fainted, and I actually broke up with a guy because I fainted once at MTV. MTV loved me for that. and, you know, he actually used to work there too. And people were like, oh, okay, well, he'll take care of you. And he like didn't show up. And I remember, and it was his own dumb shit. And I remember breaking up with him and he like still regrets it to this day. And I'm like, yeah, you should. Because that was just a shitty thing to do. But it's interesting because like you, like I tried to bring it up early, and that's definitely something like I was curious about. Like, you know, how early should people bring up the fact that they have something that they're dealing with, you know, whatever that is for them?
Totally. I mean, I think, first of all, obviously it's different for everyone and it's whatever you feel comfortable with. But I think at a certain point, you know, I think it's just walking that fine line of as you're getting closer to somebody, at what point is it weird? And you don't owe anyone anything necessarily, but like at what point would maybe like if the tables were turned, would you feel uncomfortable if someone was revealing something to you this late in the game, if that makes sense? You know, like if you're on date number 6, which I mean, Jesus Christ, at this point, I feel like in New York City or LA dating, like you're about to be engaged.
Yeah, you're
but like
married.
You make it to date like 6 or 7 with somebody, you know, and maybe if you haven't revealed it yet, the other person might feel a sense of like, oh, do you not trust me? You know what I mean? Like, why?
Or like, what else are you hiding? Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't you feel at a certain point it crosses a line to like, hey, you can reveal things on your own terms to like, are you hiding it? But then at the same time, maybe then that's a good gauge to ask yourself the question, like, why didn't I feel comfortable telling this person? And is that an indication? Because, you know, if you feel like you're getting close to somebody and like them, you would hope that along with that comes like, you want to share that with them. You know what I mean? Like you want to kind of share that part of you, but it's,
I think if you're dating, I think if you're dating people casually and like, you don't give a shit, it's like, all right, whatever. Like you're just flexing with somebody, you know, that they don't have potential. Okay. You don't need to divulge anything to them. But if somebody has potential or you're dating somebody with the intention that like, hey, I want to meet somebody and it could be serious. I do think like, I always feel like give the other person, like for me, I always felt like I wanted the other person to make, like knowledge is power, right? So I always hated when people didn't tell me all the information in their life that was important for me to make a decision that was right for me. So I try not to do that to other people. You know, I'm always like, hey, maybe for you, you will honestly tell me, hey, I feel really fucking sorry that like, I'm so like, not that I want anybody or you would have want anybody to feel sorry for you, but you know, hey, I'm sorry you're going through this. I just honestly don't think I have the capacity to handle that. I'd be like, cool, man. Yeah. Like totally get it.
Absolutely. No, that's, I mean, very good point. And also, and you touched on this a little bit, whatever it is you're dealing with, like if it is something, you know, health-wise, neurological, what have you, it's almost never just like, here's the one thing and this is the only one thing I'm dealing with. Like, I just make these random noises you have to deal with sometimes. Like, no, it's always multifaceted. Like, yes. The other reason I like to tell people about it maybe early on or as I'm getting close to them is not just so that they can know when I'm making a weird noise or a weird movement that like, hey, this is why I'm doing that, but also so many other things, like having the Tourette brain and like having to always manage like these tic urges and all the other things that are going on. I feel like my brain is just sort of clogged up and half under, like I have to concentrate so hard just to get above the Tourette fog that mm-hmm. I think sometimes people, you know, it can seem like I'm distracted or like, you know, I'm not totally focused on them, which is not the case. Like I'm just sort of dealing with all the other mumble jumble that's going mm-hmm. on in my mind, or like with the Tourette also comes for a lot of people and including me, obsessive compulsive disorder. They kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that affects my personality, even, you know what I mean? And the way I live and the things I do day to day and having like a touch of anxiety on top of that. So it's like all these things that go together that sort of affect my personality even, or, you know, like, and that's where my boyfriend has been great. And I knew he was a special person when I saw how well he responded to that, or, you know, just knows the right things to say, or kind of knows like when I'm kind of having a bad day and like, you know, a lot of tics or anxiety or whatever, and can kind of doesn't take things personally, you know, because I think it's easy for the other person to at some point, you know, maybe not take things personally necessarily, but like it can be overwhelming, or it can you know, is this about me though? Did I do something? Is that why mm-hmm. Chelsea's acting this way, or Natasha's acting this way, or feeling this way, you know? And so there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, how have most people responded when you've said things to them?
Well, I can't. And again, like, God help me, I will never write that memoir about people like spitting on me and punching me in the face. I wish I could write that memoir. But I mean, I've definitely had guys say just very run of the mill, kind of like, oh, is that what, you know, swearing all the time? And you're like, okay. And it's not like they're this total, like, fine. Everyone says dumb shit sometimes. But you just kind of know. Like, especially I feel like if you're responding to something kind of personal with just like a dumb fucking joke, it's like, you know, you could just say something like normal or kind, or like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with whatever, and like give me something reciprocal.
Or but, just like asking, tell me more about it.
Exactly.
A very simple, I don't know enough. Like what happens? And you know,
absolutely.
In like a non like weirded out way.
Exactly. And you can tell when someone just feels, I don't know, and there's something, this is just something personal for me. Like, I don't, when someone makes just like a weird, dumb joke in response to anything, it just is kind of like, okay, you get like, we need, I don't know. It's just like, can we take anything serious in your life? Like, are you, I feel like it's a sign of just like they're being totally uncomfortable, you know, so, which like kind of drives me crazy. So, I think I've only been in 3 serious relationships where the person's been like, this is my boyfriend, of the capital B. And my first boyfriend, he was actually going through a crazy situation where he had some kind of like an undiagnosed seizure disorder that caused him to, like, we would joke like he was Cinderella. Like, he would have to get a certain number of hours of sleep, or he'd have these crazy seizures, and sometimes he'd have like memory loss. So he was kind of dealing with that in a way that I feel like that's kind of also brought us together. And then my next boyfriend after that, he actually approached me, because he also, when I used to do stand up a lot more than I do now, but back when I was doing it all the time, he was another comedian here in New York City, and he approached me because I was doing at that time a show and a podcast called Call Us Crazy, where myself and Evan Morgenstern, my co-producer, would book comedians who had a diagnosed, you know, some sort of diagnosed disorder. Yeah. And so he approached me and was like, oh my God, like, I have such terrible OCD. You know, I feel like I don't talk about it enough. I'd like to write some material about it. Like, could I do your show, basically? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, sure, do my show. And that was like kind of what brought us together. It was him being like, oh my God, I want to talk to this about, you know, you about this. And I'd want to know more about Tourette and whatever. So,
well, and that's the thing is, like, everybody's going through something.
Absolutely. Like, exactly.
And everybody's on some level of the DSM. Let's just keep it real.
Like 100%.
Almost everybody is. Some just more than others. And or if you're not there, like you have like some other fucking issue. Like everybody's got issues. You know what I mean?
And 100%.
And it's about taking it with stride and like, again, knowing what you can handle and being kind about it. That's all. Like,
right.
I feel like it's not rocket science.
Totally. And I think it also talking about these things or bringing them up on dates early on is a good way. Like we were saying, if you are just like looking to like have a casual thing, great. Talk mm-hmm. about it or don't, or live your life. But if you are really in a mindset where you're like, I want to really date. I want to fucking find someone who I can be a partner with, then if, you know, bringing it up early on can also be a good gauge of what the other person is looking for, you know, because if they're in the mindset of just like looking for something casual, they might not respond as kindly or as mm-hmm. interested, you know. It's like, yeah. You can tell when someone's like, when do we get to the part where we fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Lyme disease. Interesting. Oh, that must exactly. have harmed you. Anyways, yep. Ooh, it's getting late, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what about, have any, well, I mean, I guess you did describe some crazy reactions and people doing.
I mean, not so much, to be honest with you, on date. I guess I would always just get the look kind of like, are you going to die? And I'd be like, no, I don't think so. All my tests come out really healthy, but I'm not healthy. That was so weird. Like, no part of my body came out like, hey, she's, you know, her levels are off or something is under, right. like nothing came out. They just couldn't figure out why like random shit would happen. And that's right. just like what Lyme is. It's such a weird roving kind of disease. And,
totally.
But I would get more responses. So, like, I actually didn't tell this sounds crazy to a lot of people, but I did not tell my best friends, nor my brother, nor a lot of people really close to me what was really going on. I kind of lied to everybody for many, many years of why
oh, wow.
I was sick and where I would just disappear for a while. Like, my parents knew. But I felt like it was so overwhelming. I just felt like people would be overwhelmed by it. So I
yeah.
was scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
Until finally I did. And then this was around like once I got treated for Lyme, then I told people. And like when I told my best friend, who's been my best friend since I was 7, I told her like 7-8 years later. She was like crying. She's like, why the fuck didn't you tell me? And I was just like,
oh,
I didn't
gosh.
Want you or anybody to think I was dying, because everybody
right.
looked at me that way. And
right.
and when I moved to LA and I was like looking for roommates, I remember like telling a girlfriend here, like, hey, you know, so like I'm healthy now, but once in a while I might get sick. And
right.
this is what it is. And I remember like her face was like, does that mean I have to take care of you? And I was like, all right, this isn't going to work. Like,
oh,
weird, you know. And now again, like, now I'm much stronger about it. I'm very like, hey, there's this thing. I have Lyme. I don't have it. It's not active that I know of, but I have limitations. You know, there are things I can and can't
totally.
Do. And that's life. Like, if you're around, great. If you're not, peace. Like, you know, I've learned to manage the worst parts of it alone, so I'm not
right.
too, like, worried about it. But I used to be very, very conscious of it. And I know a lot of people who, like, have, you know, mental health issues or other chronic diseases,
yeah.
and they don't feel like they can tell people.
Totally.
And I feel like, you know, you got to build yourself up, too, as a person who has whatever we have, to be like, the right people will stay and the wrong people
yeah.
will leave. And
exactly.
You know.
And that's why, yeah, as hard as it is, you still have to, like, you should push yourself the best you can to bring it up as soon as you can. Because
yeah.
exactly, it just, like, helps you cut to the chase. And also, just by the way, one of my best friends from college was recently diagnosed with Lyme disease, and she went through the same thing where for years she had no idea what was going on. She thought she was losing her mind. Like,
yeah.
you know, it just, so, I mean, my heart is with you. Like, it's
if she ever wants to talk, she
crazy
can
disease.
Totally hit me up, because
I definitely I'll put
know
you guys in
a
touch.
Lot about it. We're going to keep talking. We're going to discuss what you need to know if you're dating someone who's going through health issues and how best to respond to that. I think we definitely have some good tips there, but we'll do that after this break.
Hey, friends, you're listening to Kinda Dating. I'm Natasha Chandel here with Chelsea White, and we're talking about dating when you've got health shit going on. And the truth is, we all got health shit going on, especially as you age. All of 18 that I am. Chelsea, why do you think people get like weirded out when somebody says like, hey, I got this thing going on?
I lost you on the question, Tasha.
Sorry. We were just talking about this. Why do people get weirded out when somebody says like, I've got a health issue?
I mean, because a lot of things. I think number one, a lot of times it's because they're projecting some weird shit that they're going through or insecurities that they have on you. That's kind of like my reasoning for everything that anyone does on any time. But then other than that, I think it can feel overwhelming if you don't know, especially if you're just getting to know somebody and maybe you don't know what you're looking for in the relationship. Mm-hmm. You can feel sort of conflicted or overwhelmed with somebody being maybe more vulnerable to you than you were prepared for. You know, I think that can be a weird moment for some people, but I don't know. I think more than anything, it's just sometimes people can feel uncomfortable when they're not sure how to respond delicately to something too, if that makes sense. You know, like people, sometimes when people are trying not to be assholes can actually be when they can be the most awkward and uncomfortable because you're trying to find the words or you don't want to offend, you know. So,
and I think sometimes people think like it's added responsibility, you know what I mean? Like, shit, am I going to have to step in and I'm not, you know, again, capable or able? Or I also think another one is like that people just like, God bless them, bless their hearts, haven't like faced adversity in that way. And so, you know, don't know how to deal with it when it's faced, you know, and like the lack of education around whatever the issue might be, I think is like another big thing. Like for you, it's like you said, people have a misconception of what Tourette's is, right? And how it manifests.
Right.
And so like, people's responses are going to be dumb because they don't know any better.
Totally.
But this is why we're saying like, hey, if, you know, somebody comes out and tells you something, just like ask gentle, kind questions. Like, you know, you're just asking a friend like, oh, shit, like, what does that mean you go through? What, you know, tell me more about it. Because like, so you can get educated. And because like I know when I had the concussion, I think that was like a hard one for me because my brain capacity like was so low and kind of like, you know, a lot of times they say when with concussion, it blocks your processes of your brain. So normally anytime you're saying something, it's filtered through, you know, a part of your brain that says, okay, say this much, say don't say this, control your temper, don't whatever. And when your brain is like injured with that, it's why like athletes and stuff, they always say have outbursts. So you, you know, your emotions are very, very raw. So if you're happy, you're super happy. If you're sad, you're fucking on the floor crying. And if you're angry, you're just like snapping. And that's what was happening to me after my concussion. I was living with my ex, and I'm such a calm person. So for me to snap, it's like harsh. And instead of like, and I would always send him links. I'd be like, I swear I'm not being a crazy person. Can you like check this out? Like, this is what a concussion is. And like, he would never really take the interest in like checking it out. And so it would like become this thing like, oh, you, I can't believe you yelled like that. And you said this. And I remember my neurologist was like, you need to tell him to fucking man up. And I was like, I know.
I love their neurologist.
But yeah, my neurologist is like 75-year-old man who's like married forever. He's like, is your boyfriend still being an idiot? Like, tell him to man up. And I was like, I don't know. But I think like that's so important, right? Just like whatever you have, just if you're a partner or dating somebody who might have something and you like them, understand them, like what they're going through, you know. Try to really, takes like an extra half hour on fucking Google.
Exactly. And P.S. I do the opposite, where my boyfriend played football all through high school and college. So every time he's being insane and we're having a fight, I'm like, this is because your brain's fucked up from all your concussions and you're just being crazy. And he's like, I don't even think that's true. And I'm like, I think it is.
It could be, you know, because a lot of people get concussions and they don't even know.
And exactly. And like, they don't even know or whatever.
Yeah.
I know that you didn't have that experience of, like you said, that traumatic memoir experience, but what did you learn about yourself while you've been, you know, out in that dating world with Tourette's? Like, what did you learn about yourself through that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if anything, it did force me to maybe not, I guess in some ways embrace it. Cause honestly, I really, similar to you, didn't really talk about it with anybody, even my closest friends, until I was in college. I kind of had this big, you know, would fall almost like a coming out to a couple of my best friends, like senior year of high school. And then I slowly got more brave about revealing it to friends that I met in college. And it was this weird conflicting thing. Cause on one hand, I don't think I would have ever characterized it as like something I was ashamed of or embarrassed of, but it's just that like sometimes you just don't want to have the conversation, you know? Sometimes it's just like you're saying, like it's easier to just not have the conversation. You want to just feel quote unquote normal, or you just don't want to overwhelm people. You don't want to sit and like answer the same questions again. And so I think when then I moved to the city and really started dating, it kind of forced me to embrace it and to find ways to be more vocal about it, you know, and that's when I would kind of develop these ways of like, you know, how to kind of speak to it. If someone did ask me like, oh, do you need a tissue? I notice you're sniffling. Or do you need some water? I notice you're coughing, all those things. And instead of just brushing it off, like, you know, you're wont to do, and just kind of like, oh no, something in my throat. Like, it's such an easier answer to just like not deal with it, but to kind of embrace that moment, be like, oh, you know what? Like, actually I have Tourette, this is what it is. And I am like, I have a huge people pleasing problem. So I think to me, that feels very uncomfortable, because you feel, to me, it almost feels like, if I were the other person, I would feel embarrassed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would feel super embarrassed that I was like, oh my God, like, do you need a tissue? And then the other person's like, actually, no, I don't need a tissue. I have a neurological disorder. I'd be like, I am an asshole. So, but I think, you know, you have to come to realize that that's not like, that's a normal, just saying it in a polite way. Like, oh no, it's actually Tourette, and explaining it is, you know, the best thing to do for everybody. So it kind of gave me a lot of practice, I guess, you know, like on all those dates, kind of feeling that out and learning like how to best approach it. And
did it give you a lot more empathy?
100%. That's like, I mean, I always say, if people ask me like, if you could take a magic pill and, you know, cure your Tourette, cause there is no cure for Tourette, right now, would you do it? And I would say no, because I feel like it's just such a part of shaped my personality and who I am, and has absolutely like given me that empathy and compassion. And, you know, it's strange to think, would my personality even be the same in some ways, you know, because it's just sort of a part of,
yeah.
I mean, it's my brain. So,
yeah, I mean, same with me. As much as Lyme, you know, sometimes I wish it was like a little easier, but, but I am always like, you know what? It taught me like my priorities in life. It taught me so much about myself. Like I, you know, when I was younger, kind of like everybody else, like I was very emotional about small things. And now I'm just like, man, there's way bigger issues like to worry about. Like, let's not fucking fret and fright over dumb shit, you know? And just like who you are, and knowing that in the world, you know, again, when you're young, you're like obsessed with whatever you're doing, especially for us in entertainment. We're very like, you know, I want to be XYZ by this time. And then I like stopped and I realized, I'm like, you know what? Other people will never have gone through the things that we've gone through. And that life experience is invaluable. And, and everybody has like, and you're not defined by that. Like for me, I remember being so sick one time that I thought that I was like going to die in bed. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, this is how I go. Great. Like I'm in so much pain. And I was looking at Britney Spears at the time. She just shaved her head and she came out of the car with her jeans open. And I remember going, ugh, like, is that what you wanted? Like, that's what you like. Okay, this person has fame. They have money. They have whatever. They seem. And I'm like, but like, what is life? And I just had this like dawning moment of like, we're not any of this shit that, you know, this body and this, and just like the things we do and the titles. And I was just like, you have lived an awesome life. If you were to go tomorrow, you still impacted people in an awesome way. Like
Absolutely.
The people who really matter at the end of the day. And
totally.
So, yeah, I feel like it like changed my whole perspective and made me like an 80-year-old grandma at
Yes, I love that.
So what should people know when like, you know, you're dating somebody who has like any condition, like Tourette's or whatever, like what should they know? Like, I feel like they should also know that we also feel guilty about it.
I mean, yes, I would say for sure. I mean, that's like I was saying at the beginning of this episode, like all I feel is guilt for like annoying people around me, mm-hmm. not only, and just like them having to sit and listen to my weird noises. 'Cause also the irony and the like, penalty you get for like getting closer to me and me being more comfortable around you is that then I'm more comfortable to let my tics loose because, you know, I'm lucky to have a moderate case. Like I don't have a super severe case. So I can sort of control it or mask it a little bit during the day or like wait till I like go to the bathroom and I'm away from people to kind of like tick out a little bit. So I'm not disturbing people. But then when I get home and when I'm around, you know, like my boyfriend and my best friends, that's when I'm just fucking caution to the wind, like making crazy noises and like, you know, whatever, like elbowing my boyfriend because like one of my tics is like moving my arm around. And so I'm just apologizing to my coworkers and people of like, I am so sorry. And 99.99, well, I mean, maybe always, I've never had anyone be like, yeah, fuck you, Chelsea.
Exactly.
Can't stand me. Everyone, you know, most people are just like, I don't even notice, you know, like I noticed for like 30 seconds and then it just became part of like, whatever, the background noise of just being around Chelsea. So yes, know that we feel guilt all the time for things we're doing or things we're imposing upon you.
And that we had said this before too, that everyone comes with like their own set of baggage, you know?
Yes.
And like everybody comes, like somebody comes with like daddy issues, somebody comes with mommy issues, somebody comes with like, you know, like whatever. PTSD somebody comes with,
right?
You know,
exactly. Yeah, or even exactly.
I was cheated on. That's a fucking issue.
Yes, 100% emotional baggage like that, baggage from past relationships. Yeah, just sort of like, yeah, exactly. Your own shit you're dealing with your own like self image and insecurities, and for whatever reason, it's just like nobody is coming like I'm ready to be in this relationship and everything is fine. It's like no, even if it's not something that you can articulate, you know, and that like. The person you're dating might not in this moment that you're dating them even be able to articulate what they're going through or see it. You know what I mean? And sometimes that can be what's great about a relationship is like helping each other see each other for better and for worse. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And working on yourself. So,
yeah, I definitely think that I'm, you know, if you love somebody at like their worst when they're like ill or whatever, you're going to definitely love them when they're all cleaned up and at their best.
Yeah, exactly. exactly.
And I think that like, how do you feel about this? I think the most people I know don't want anybody feeling sorry for them that they have whatever.
Of course.
Do you agree?
Yes, for sure. Because I think there's, you know, a difference between like we talked about the kind of the guilt that comes along with it in some way. But then the worst case scenario would be somebody feeling like... there's a difference between like the being compassionate and feeling like your partner is like taking care of you and wants to be there for you, or like there's like a, you know, crossing the line into like pity and to like as if you're a burden, you know. So yes, for sure.
Or just like you're a, you know, a delicate flower or something like that. When I feel like people who have something that they're dealing with are probably some of the strongest people, you know, because they are like battling every single day with, you know, whatever it is. I mean, even people who go through things, you know, depression and stuff, they're like warriors, you know, they every day have to like do something to manage all of those things. And I think
completely.
Like sticking it out with people who have something makes both people better, you know. And you create kind of like a bond, like an intimacy that's hard to get in other situations all the time.
Oh,
like you
definitely.
See people like
definitely.
Super vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Chelsea, this has been awesome to have you on to talk with us about.
Oh, no, I just lost you again.
Oh, no worries.
Oh, you're back. You're
back
now.
Here we are. I gave this like long dramatic pause so you didn't miss much. But I was saying that it was lovely to have you on Kinda Dating to talk about this because
you.
I think like it's so important. And where can people find more information on Tourette's?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it was so interesting hearing about what you dealt with Lyme disease and what you're dealing with. And I mean, people can stalk me at the Chelsea White on all platforms, not because I'm an asshole, but because Chelsea White was already taken by some girl
fucking
who's a model
bitch
in the UK. So fuck you, other Chelsea White. And then you can check out Ghosted Stories on whatever podcast platform you enjoy.
Nice. And how can people find more information on Tourette's?
Oh, definitely. You can check out the National Tourette Association, the Tourette Association of America, their website. I believe it's like TAA-USA.org. Just Google Tourette Association of America. That's how Google works. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, they have obviously all sorts of great resources, not only for just if you want to learn more about it in general, like if you have a loved one that has Tourette, but also you can check out if there's a local chapter in your area, because we have chapters all over the U.S. and they're always, you know, providing great resources for people with Tourette and their families and like loved ones.
I love that. We're not totally done. I still have 6 questions to ask you.
Oh, all right.
This is our, at the end of every show, we ask every guest the exact same 6 questions. It's our dating version of the Bernard Pivot questionnaire, made famous on Inside the Actor's Studio, but this is our original dating version of it. So
I love it.
Chelsea, here are your 6 questions. I hope that you can hear them all.
Okay. I'm ready.
And the first one, what is the first thing you notice about a potential partner?
Oh, I'm going to say hair. I'm a hair person.
Nice. What is your one deal breaker?
Oh, no, we didn't make it. I lost you on number 2.
That's okay.
Give it to me again.
What is your one deal breaker?
Oh, definitely if he wants kids. Mm-hmm. I've never wanted kids.
Nice. At least you know.
At least I know, you know.
What turns you on?
Oh my God. Does everyone say like laughing, sense of humor? Let me think of a better one.
No, everybody says something totally different.
Okay. Laughing, sense of humor. Or how about just like clicking?
Yeah.
Just like ease of conversation, right?
Yeah. Well, tell us one of your strengths and one of your weaknesses in relationships.
Strength would probably be, I guess I'd like to think I'm a pretty good communicator. I have like a pretty good emotional intelligence. I feel like I'm good at like sussing people out that way and like making people feel comfortable. And weakness would probably be maybe that I expect the same in return sometimes to an unrealistic degree. That's a thing.
Nah, girl, you're a girl. That's all. What is love?
Love is being able to be your alone self with the other person.
I like that. I like it.
Yeah.
Besides I love you, what 3 words would you want your partner to tell you?
I have food.
The weight of the heart is through the stomach.
Yes.
So Chelsea, you already told people where to find you on social media. Thank you once again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Friends, we are also on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Kinda Dating. You know, Kinda Dating is presented by Meltdown Comics. Come visit us, 7522 Sunset Boulevard here in LA. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. If you can take a few seconds and review us on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. And send us your dating stories and thoughts to kindadating@gmail.com. Finally, I know it seems tough out there, but just try. Till next time. The show is produced by myself and Mason Booker, who's also the audio engineer. Our associate producer is Aisha Holden. Opening music composed by Joe Lorenzetti, and our logo and graphics are by Jenna Yannick and K. Daniel Ellis.